So this morning, we're going to continue in our kind of our church leadership series. And so as Joey makes his way back up there, he's going to have a slide to put up. But it's just the diagram that we've been looking at that has Christ as the head of the church. And then directly under, we have the congregation. And we spent back in March, February and March, we looked at the role of the congregation, the authority of the congregation. Then we spent the past, this is the third week now, on this first office, the office of elders or overseers or pastors or bishops. All various words to describe the one office, the office of elders. And so we looked at just the New Testament evidence for elders, and last week we looked at qualifications. And so this week we're going to answer the question, what do elders do? What is the function of elders? Okay, and so that's what we're going to spend our time this morning focusing on, how do elders function. And Lord willing, next week we will turn to the second office, the one that I'm guessing you are more familiar with, which is that of deacon. Okay, and so we'll look at the New Testament evidence at the office of deacon and who they are and how they are to function. But this week our focus is the function of elders. And so I just want to make two initial observations here at the outset. And first, at least in my experience growing up in Southern Baptist churches, a common practice regarding church offices, specifically the elder and the deacon, is that there's been a common practice of kind of merging these two offices into one office. Okay, and so maybe that's your experience. But the reason, if I had to guess or explain why this merge has happened, it's because that most times there's not a plurality of elders. There's a senior pastor who, when a senior pastor looks at the job requirements or the responsibilities of him in his church, the seriousness of his calling is going to cause him to quickly realize he can't do it on his own, or at least not well. Okay, and so with that recognition, okay, the senior pastor needs help. And often what has happened is there has emerged a kind of a combination of church office. We have deacons who are sometimes the spiritual leaders who then overlap and say, well, we're going to help the pastor, the elder, shepherd the congregation. Okay, and so you have this kind of this new position that's kind of an elder deacon or a deacon elder, a deacon who functions like an elder. Okay, and so there's kind of this team effort between a senior pastor and a group of deacons to shepherd the church, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing. However, it's just that the New Testament lays out distinct roles for the elder and the deacon. Okay, and so when you have both offices functioning in the same role, okay, something's missing from the church. If the Lord has laid out, here are the two offices and here are the distinct roles, then those individuals in those offices ought to function the way that they were intended to in the New Testament. So, like I said, we'll look at the role of deacons next week, but this week, we're going to look at the function of the elder. So that's the first, right? So your experience, that may be what has happened. And so when I'm talking about the role of the elder, maybe you're thinking, well, that's what deacons do. Well, that's probably why, because there's been a merging. But then the other thing, just to note, as you walk through these responsibilities, you're going to realize that a lot of, in your experience, there's probably been a lot of this function, a lot of the things that elders are to do, in your experience and in mine, have been done by the paid staff of the church. And so the official, quote-unquote, official pastors are often the ones that are going to function in this way. Whether it's a senior pastor, an associate, or a pastor of discipleship or education, or whatever the case may be, those that are employed by the church are often those that function in the ways that elders do. And so because of that, it's going to be easy to assume that the office of elder is just for paid pastors, just those that are paid to do the work of the ministry, the work of the elder. And so as in a couple weeks, as Will comes, you may be tempted to think, okay, great, now we have two elders. Right? So now we got two, we got multiple elders. That's great, we don't need any more. Right? Which it's true, we will have two elders. And I just want to, for the sake of Will, to let you know that a non-negotiable, you can ask search team members, throughout every step of our interview process for an associate pastor, from the resumes to the questionnaire to the Zoom interviews to the conversations with multiple references to the in-person interviews, right? One thing that we as a team were looking for was someone who qualified as an elder. We were looking for an elder, a candidate who desired to pastor, who was gifted to pastor, a man whose character and home life and relationships all pointed to the fact that God had called him to function as an elder. Okay, so when Will comes, that's what we're getting. We are getting a second elder, which is great news. And so Will and I are both going to function as elders and should both be held to the qualifications, like we talked about last week. Him and I are both called to meet those qualifications. But what I want you to know is that biblically, and this holds true historically as well, but the office of elders, often it's a plurality, but it's often a mixture of men, some who are paid by the church vocationally, and then some who are not paid by the church vocationally, but who still function as elders. So some men, like myself, are paid by the church so that I don't have to worry about getting another job. Right, I can devote myself fully to the work of the ministry of this church. So I can set aside time to preach and lead and visit and call and things like that. But there are also elders who are not paid by the church. And so if you hear me say, hey, we need more elders, don't think, well, we just got to pay more money. No, you're actually going to get elders for free. Right? Not free to them, but free to the church, because that has been the group of men have often been a mix of those who are vocational and those that are called lay elders, or those who have other employment, whether it's at the shipyard or some other place. They have secular employment, but who still are called to pastor and still function in that way. And so I'm not arguing for more staff members. I'm only arguing for more biblically qualified men to bear the weight of leading this local church alongside of Will and I. Okay, so those are the two kind of observations, but let's go with a definition here at the outset. So here's the definition. If I were to define the function of elders. Elders are the shepherd leaders of the church who shepherd and lead the church under the charge of the chief shepherd. Okay, so there's just two very clear functions. Elders are shepherd leaders. Okay, so that's going to be our breakdown. The shepherd, elders shepherd, and elders lead. And so the definition, elders are the shepherd leaders of the church who shepherd and lead the church under the charge of the chief shepherd. Okay, so this is the most important thing for you to understand about the office of elders. Elders are ordained by God to lead and to shepherd God's people. Okay, and so elders shepherd and lead on behalf of God. Right? So we'll see, this will be very clear, but elders are called to shepherd God's people on God's behalf. And they're to do so following the example set by the good shepherd himself, the chief shepherd, Christ himself. And this is why getting the qualifications and the function of this office is so central to the life of a local church. Because if what we have is that Christ himself has ordained and called men, qualified men, godly men, mature men, humble men, flawed and imperfect though they are, men who are themselves shepherds to shepherd God's people. If Christ himself has ordained these men for this task to lead his people, then this office, as ordained by God, ought to be functioning within the life of every local church. When God has ordained an office to lead and to shepherd his church, a church would do well to stick to that plan. And so we don't need to say, well, how are we gonna have leaders and shepherds that are gonna accomplish the task of this local church? They're gonna help lead this church. You don't have to go outside of the scripture. The Lord has himself established a structure for leadership. And so the big picture of elders, at least in terms of function, is that elders shepherd the church and elders lead the church. Okay, so elders function as shepherds and elders function as leaders. And so we're going to work through those functions one at a time here for the rest of this morning. But at the outset, like I did last week, I just want to read two passages. These are two passages that we find in the New Testament that help paint a picture of how elders are to function, of kind of what they do. And so the two passages are Acts 20, verses 28 through 32, and then 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. And so in Acts 20, verses 28 through 32, just the context, Paul is, he's headed back to Jerusalem, and he's going to make a one long trip to Rome, and so he's passing by some of the churches that he planted, that he was influential in, and so he sends to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he's on his ship, and it docks temporarily, and he just meets with them kind of on the beach. And so he's talking with the elders, the pastors of the church at Ephesus, And this is that's the context, and these are the words that he says to them. This is how he encourages his parting words to the elders of a local church. So in verse 28, he begins, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Pay careful attention to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years, I, Paul, did not cease day or night to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. And so the next passage, you can turn there if you want, but I'll simply read it. 1 Peter 5, here's how Peter exhorts the elders. 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 1, Peter writes, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Here's what I exhort you to, elders, Peter says, "Shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And so those are the two passages, Acts 20 and 1 Peter 5. And in both of those passages, we kind of get the idea as to how these men, how the elders are to function in the life of the local church. And so in Acts, we see the elders are called overseers. They're the overseers of the church and their church to care for the church. And Paul warns them of false teachers that had come in and endanger the church. So he says, you protect the church. And then the 1 Peter passage, the elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock that's among them. They're exhorted to exercise oversight. They're to do so willingly and to be examples. And so we just kind of get a feel for this is who those men that lead the church and shepherd the church are. Okay, this is how elders, these qualified men, are to function in every local church. So let's look first at elders shepherd the flock. So let's look first at that first point. How do elders shepherd the flock? And so when we think about elders, I want the first image that comes to your mind to be that of a shepherd. That this image of shepherding is probably the most comprehensive word to describe the function of an elder. So 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock among you. Elders, first and foremost, must be shepherds. And the idea is that every local church, which is filled with sheep or members, right, and these members must be cared for. The church is filled with men and women who must be shepherded, not by just random people, but by God-ordained shepherds. The elders are to shepherd. And so myself, as an elder, I'm to shepherd the members of Fox Hill Road Baptist Church. I'm not a shepherd to all the Christians in Virginia. I'm not a shepherd to all the Christians in Hampton. I'm not a shepherd to all the Christians in the Fox Hill community. I'm not even a shepherd to everyone who's watching this on Facebook, right? I'm a shepherd to the members of this church, those who have committed to this local fellowship. I'm to shepherd them. Acts 20, 28 says that I'm to pay careful attention to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made me an overseer. And so the implication is that every Christian is to be under the care of a Spirit-ordained overseer. Do you hear that? If I'm to pay careful attention to the flock that the Holy Spirit has made me an overseer, that means you have been put under the care of an overseer. And every Christian ought to be a member of a local church so that he or she can be cared for by a Spirit-empowered and ordained overseer. Every member of the body of Christ is to be cared for and shepherded by elders of a local church. And this happens by joining and being part of a local church. I mean, I would point you back to a sermon series back in January and into early February where we looked at what church membership is. But here's another reminder, in case any of you have forgotten, there is no biblical category for a Christian who is not part of a local church. And so if you're not joined to a local church, you're disobedient to Scripture. There's not a category. Now, I'm not saying that this is the church you must join, because maybe it's not, but you should be part of a local church because membership in a local church not only gives you a body of believers to be a part of, yes, that's one of the great benefits, but it also gives you shepherds who are called by God and responsible before God for caring for you. And so if you're not part of a local church, you're just like a sheep wandering in the wilderness. And wolves and false teachers and those who would seek to destroy you abound, and you're not protected. And so this is why Titus 1:7 refers to elders as God's steward. Elders are shepherds that have been given people to steward. And so elders don't own sheep. I'm not a sheep owner. Elders shepherd the sheep that have been entrusted to them. And so this idea of shepherd, this goes against the common idea that pastors are somehow types of cowboys who are just herding the cattle to do what they want them to do. That's not how shepherds lead. Elders don't get behind the flock and drive them and use, you know, one of those prods. Hey, get, do what I say. That's not how shepherds shepherd. Elders are gentle shepherds. tending to the sheep. Elders are not primarily or mainly CEOs who are called to simply lead an organization. This is not a Fortune 500 company. Elders aren't called to lead nonprofit or humanitarian causes. Elders are primarily and mainly shepherds who are responsible for caring for the souls of the sheep that God has entrusted to them. And so elders shepherd. They shepherd the sheep. And so here's five specific ways. We're just going to walk through these. Five specific ways that elders shepherd the sheep. First, elders shepherd the sheep by knowing the sheep. You can't shepherd the sheep that you don't know. Right? And so when I'm preparing sermons, when I'm thinking about this church, I'm not preaching to a general, nondescript congregation. I'm preaching to you. Now, you, I can't envision you on the behind the phone, but you that are gathered, I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking, how would this encourage them? How can I care for them? My relationships with you fuel how I shepherd. To know the sheep implies that the elders have more than just a surface-level relationship with those under their care. There's a saying that says if you want to be a shepherd, you better be willing to smell like the sheep. Right? And I'm a sheep too. And if we're honest, we all stink sometimes. And I've smelt some of your stink, right? But I'm supposed to because I'm a shepherd. And so shepherds know their sheep. Real relationships form the foundation for real shepherding. And so this is why when Will gets here, I'm not going to overload him with tasks and responsibilities when he first gets here. In fact, I've already told him the first couple of weeks are just going to be him making visits and phone calls. Right? I'm going to task him with getting to know the sheep that he's responsible for shepherding now. And so this is your warning. Don't ignore or screen phone calls from the church the first couple weeks in October, okay? Answer them and talk. But that's the best thing I think that we can do, that I can do in helping prepare Will for the task before him is to get to know you. And so the requirement for elders to know sheep is also why I think, and this has became very clear to me, we need multiple elders. I can't know all of my sheep the way that I ought to without help, without other qualified men to do the same thing. And this is why church growth tends to be such a challenge for pastors. The bigger the church gets, the harder it is to know the sheep. In fact, I have a great friend whose church has gotten bigger and bigger. And one of the recent conversations I had with him, he said, I miss being a pastor. And I thought, what a sad thing. His church has gotten so big, he's just managing groups and peoples and leaders. He misses being a pastor. And I want to say, you're called to pastor. And so unfortunately, sometimes the appeal of larger churches, you can come in and you can go without ever being known by anyone, much less the leaders. Right? And that goes against the calling, the responsibility of pastors, of elders. They're to know the sheep. I mean, listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to his relationship with the believers at the church in Thessalonica. Listen to the relationship between this apostle, which I think that elders ought to imitate. Paul describes his relationship with him. He says, this is 1 Thessalonians verse 7, I think it's chapter 4, I'm not sure, but here's what he says. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Right? That's the heart of a pastor, gently dealing with those under his care. And being willing to share his own life with those under his care. This is how someone who knows his sheep talks. This is how an elder ought to view his calling. He shares his own life with those under his care. That's why I love you as church members. I love that I can share my life with you, my family. You love my children. And that makes it so easy for me to be open and to let you know me, but also that I may get to know you. Shepherds know their sheep. Secondly, not only does the elder know the sheep, second, the elder feeds the sheep. So elders, as shepherds of the sheep, are called to feed the sheep. Just like a shepherd is responsible for leading his sheep to green pastures and to still waters, elders likewise are called to ensure that God's people are being fed. Right? I'm responsible for your diet. Week in and week out, whether corporately and or individually, in sermons or in Bible studies, in small groups or Sunday school classes, the role of elders is to ensure that the sheep are being fed. And obviously, we're not talking about physical food. We're talking about God's word. talking about scripture. We're talking about things that are true. Elders feed the sheep. And it's not just what I want to say. It's not my thoughts. That's not what I'm feeding you, right? You'll get really weak and really sick if you just go off what I have to say. I feed you what God has said. That's what made, not by bread alone, but you are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm only to deliver what God has said to you. And so elders teach and preach, and they teach and preach God's word, and they do so to ensure that God's people are healthy. This is why last week you saw one of the unique qualifications for elders as opposed to deacons and opposed to every other Christian is that elders are called to be able to teach or apt to teach. Right? That's why this is a qualification, because elders function as teachers, as preachers, as those who hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he might be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, Paul commands Timothy, devote yourselves to public reading of scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. This is what the elder is called to. It's not just in preaching. It's one-on-one conversations. It's phone calls. It's hospital visits. It's Sunday school classrooms. It's small groups. It's even articles in the Reflector. Elders, in various ways, feed the sheep. And so this is what elders do. Elders feed the sheep. And just to be clear, it is normal, historically and biblically, for there to be at least one elder who's set aside for the main portion of the teaching and preaching ministry of the church. In fact, it's also common for that man to be the one that's supported by the church in order to give himself for those tasks. And so you can write this down, 1 Timothy 5:17, Paul says to Timothy, let elders who rule be considered worthy of double honor. And notice this caveat, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And so he says, let elders who rule be considered worthy of double honor, but especially those who labor in preaching and teaching, which means although all elders are required to be able to teach, there are those who are especially laboring, who labor especially in preaching and teaching. Okay, and so that's why it's not uncommon for there to be a pastor, an elder, who gives himself to the ministry of teaching and preaching and takes the main bulk of that. But big picture, elders feed the sheep. Third, elders, related to feeding the sheep, the third way that elders shepherd is by protecting the sheep. So elders feed the sheep, but elders also protect the sheep. So in Titus 1:9, right, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction. That's the positive. But also, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to rebuke those who contradict it. And so the elders are the guarders of truth. So when false teaching seeks to invade the church, the elders rebuke those. Rebuke those who would come with false teaching. I mean, the reality is that there are things that are true and there are things that are false. Right? It's not everything that you think or not everything that seems right to you is necessarily true. That's why it's such a dangerous thing to have Bible studies where they say, what do you think it means? What does it mean to you? And then you have five different interpretations. Well, not everyone can be right because there are things that are true and things that are false. There is a faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. There is a teaching that the church has held to throughout its existence. There is an apostolic standard that the church must maintain, and the elders must know and hold firm to the truth so that they can teach it, yes, but also so they can protect the sheep from false teaching, so that they can rebuke those who would seek to lead the church and the sheep astray. I mean, even in the New Testament, the earliest churches, there was false teaching. I mean, Paul's letters to the churches are assuming that there are these false teachings. And there will always be false teachings trying to sneak into the church. And elders are called and equipped to guard the truth. And this is why Paul, in his conversation with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he says, I know that after I leave, wolves are going to come in from among you, not sparing the flock. And what are they going to do? Among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. Speaking twisted things. And why are they going to do this? To draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, Paul said. And so we must be alert. There is false teaching. And so God calls and equips elders and tasks them with shepherding the sheep, and specifically by protecting them from error. Fourth, elders shepherd by praying for the sheep. Elders pray for the sheep. James 5, this is probably the most well-known elder praying passage, but in James 5, Listen to what James says. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so what's the remedy that James sees for someone who's sick? He says, let them call for the elders of the church. And what the elders do, the elders are to pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And so elders pray. James assumes that elders pray for the sick. Now we'll look more at this passage next week, but in Acts chapter 6, there's this connection of prayer and the ministry of the word, and it's the apostles in Acts 6 that give themselves to these two tasks. And these are the two things that the apostles would not and could not neglect. And so while there's a distinction between elders and apostles, I think it's safe to assume that these two functions that were non-negotiable for the apostles are the same for elders. Elders are to give themselves to ministry of the word. We just talked about feeding the sheep, but also to prayer. Praying for their people is the way that shepherds shepherd. Elders ought to be praying for their people. In fact, one author says, intercessory prayer is perhaps the most basic ministry of the elder. And listen to this. In order to speak to men for God, elders must speak to God for men. They must be aware of the futility of all their actions apart from the life-giving work of God's Spirit. Elders do and must pray. So in order to speak to men for God, elders must speak to God for men. And so the shepherd commits himself to pray for his sheep. And he does so because the sheep's well-being is ultimately dependent on God himself, and elders must pray fervently for the sheep and ask God to intervene and help and care and comfort. And so elders pray for their sheep. And they do this various ways. Elders should pray for the sheep individually, collectively, congregationally. For instance, a day in my week, I pray for you. If you're a member of this church, I can confidently say I've prayed for you multiple times over these past 6 months. I have a members directory, and I cycle through letters. I group columns together, and I pray through members. And so when I write birthday cards, I write a prayer, but I also pray for you. If I know something that's going on, I'll pray for that specifically. But if not, I'll find a prayer in the New Testament, and I'll pray that for you. When anyone comes to my mind during the day, so yesterday as I was preparing, there were a handful of people that just came to mind. I said, Lord, be with them now. I don't know what they need, but you do. Lord, bless them. Be near to them. During the worship service, as I did this morning, I pray for people, for our congregation, big prayers, small prayers. And so I have to, I must, I would be neglecting my calling as an elder if I was not praying for you. And so that's what elders do. And we should note this isn't a unique calling for elders. All Christians, if you're a member of this church, you should be praying for one another. You should take your membership directory and you should pray through members' names together. If you don't know who they are, there's a phone number there. Call and say, hey, I know this is awkward, but I don't know who you are and I want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? Right, I bet you'll know them after that, I'm sure. Right? If not, they'll definitely know you. Right? But so you should be praying for one another. But even if no one else is praying for you, I want you to be encouraged that your elders will be praying for you. Then fifth, elders shepherd by setting an example for the sheep. That's the fifth way. Elders are to be examples to the flock. That's what we spent all last week looking at, the qualifications. And the reason that elders are required to meet all those qualifications is because they're required to be examples in conduct and in speech to those that they lead. And I'm not going to go into any more detail about that here. So that is the first section. That completes the five ways that elders shepherd the church. Elders are called to shepherd in those five ways. Now, a lot more could be said, but as we transition to the second function, that of leading, I just want you to recognize there's a significant relationship between these two functions, between shepherding and leading. And the connection between these two is that elders who are faithfully doing the first will not find much difficulty or opposition when they try and do the second. And so when elders are shepherding and caring and sharing their lives with their sheep, when they go to lead the sheep know their shepherd. And they say, yes, of course, I know you love us. Maybe I don't agree with all that you're saying, but I trust your heart. And so shepherding and leading are directly connected. This means that shepherds, when elders aren't shepherding, and when they aren't caring for the church, sheep won't follow them because they don't know they love them or care for them. And so if you're not shepherding, you're not able to lead. And so if I'm ever unable to lead, it's like it's lots of opposition, lots of pushback, I ought to consider, well, am I caring for the people? Because if I'm caring for the people, then people have no problem following a shepherd that loves them and cares for them. They're much more willing to follow shepherds as they lead when they know that the shepherds have their best interest at heart. This means that shepherds must be patient. Elders must be patient with the sheep, right? And so I know from experience, there's nothing more discouraging and frustrating than an impatient shepherd. And so I want to be a patient elder. I've seen the impatient pastors before where everything is your fault, where everything, anything that can be blamed on the church is blamed on the church. And then I get up here and I yell at you and tell you why everything is your fault, why the church isn't growing, why this isn't happening, why. That's not a patient shepherd. That's a combative, discontent man looking for a quick fix, looking to shepherd the sheep that he has not been entrusted. The sheep that they've been entrusted are often a hindrance when that's the case. True shepherds are patient. And true shepherds, elders who shepherd, recognize that shepherding is a long-term calling. So sheep are not shepherded in one day or in one sermon or in 1 year or in 4 years. Sheep need shepherds indefinitely until you're with the Lord. And so shepherds shepherd patiently. And that affects how elders lead. But elders do lead. So let's look at the second function. Elders lead. And there's only four things here that we're going to work through. Elders lead the flock. So shepherding and leading are connected. So if you have elders who try and lead without exercising care and ministering to the church, you're going to have issues. Okay, so here's the four ways that elders lead the flock. First, they lead by exercising oversight. So elders lead by exercising oversight. So 1 Peter 5:2, Peter says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." The responsibility to lead is assumed when Peter charges the elders to exercise oversight. When he says exercise oversight, he means lead the sheep, lead the church. The elders have a responsibility that exceeds that of the church member. As one author puts it, the elder is not just a leader in the church, but is called with the other elders to lead the church. And so elders have a responsibility to lead. This is why the office of elder carries real and legitimate authority. The elders cannot lead if there's not a real authority. And so this is why we made clear that the congregation has authority, but the elders have authority also. That's assumed. And so 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5, listen to how Paul describes the elders. "He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Why? For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" And so do you see the comparison there, right? Husbands manage, they lead, they have responsibility for their household. And he says, if a man can't do that, how in the world is he going to do the same thing in the church? Which assumes that the elder has a responsibility, has authority, has to lead the church. The elders are responsible for caring for the household of God, and they do so by exercising oversight. This is also why another verse you should be familiar with is Hebrews 13:17. At the end of the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." Christians are called to submit to their leaders. And so a good question to ask yourself is, how do you obey Hebrews 13:17? As a Christian, who do you obey and submit to? And this is why, if you're not a member of a church, who are you? Who's the leader? It's not Billy Graham. It's not some preacher on TV. You're called to obey and submit to actual human leaders that you are under the care of. And so the point of Hebrews 13:17 is that there are human leaders that have been given authority within the context of each and every local church. And these human leaders are to be obeyed and submitted to. And what I'm arguing is that these leaders are the qualified elders, the group of men who are charged with leading the church. And they must do so as shepherds with humility. It's never said, nowhere in Scripture are elders told to force the congregation to submit to them. They're to lead. They're to lead humbly and lovingly and gently. And the sheep are to follow their leader. Elders must lead with humility and earn the trust of those they lead. And so this is why the relationship between elders and the congregation must be built on this mutual trust where I know you love me and you know I love you. And it must be built on that because there's real authority and real responsibility in both realms. The congregation has real authority and the elders have real authority. And so when members trust their leaders and follow them willingly, that's a beautiful thing. And when leaders serve and care for and love their members as they're called to, it's a beautiful thing. And it works together. It's just like a husband and wife who are a perfect team, each carrying out his or her role. It's complementarian. It's a beautiful thing as God has ordained it. And so elders lead by exercising oversight. Second, elders lead by discerning direction. Now, I won't say too much here other than to establish that the elders are not the ones who own the church or who ultimately decide the direction of the church. The elders are called to discern the direction of the church as God leads them by his Spirit. And so I don't decide, here's what our church must do. I say, Lord, how are you leading this church? How can we as a church move or grow or do this or do that? I discern, elders are called to discern the direction that God would have his church go because it's not the elders' church. It's God's church. It's the church that Christ shed his blood for and purchased with his blood. And so there are basic marching orders. God has communicated clearly what a church is and some foundational aspects of church life. And so the elders are to ensure that the church maintains worship and ministry that are in keeping with God's clear commands and prescriptions. So elders must lead the church according to God's commands for God's purposes and through God's means. Okay, there's some basic things that must always be true. But there's a variety of ways that God will lead each church as he sees fit. And he does so through these God-ordained and qualified leaders, through the elders. Elders discern the direction and then exercise oversight and lead in that direction. And just to mention, the congregation is always the emergency brake on that. And so if you have elders who are leading in a direction, the congregation says no, well, the congregation has the ultimate authority and say, no, this is not. But there better be a good reason other than this is how we always have done it, right? But the congregation has real authority and can always at any point overrule the elders. This is how it works. This is a checks and balances. A third way that elders lead is as God's stewards. Again, the church is the possession of Christ himself, right? So Acts 20, Paul says that pay careful attention to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. And how does he describe the church of God? With that which he obtained with his own blood. So the church is precious to Jesus Christ because he died for the church. And so elders are stewards of precious people, of blood-bought sheep. And elders are called to steward those precious blood-bought sheep. And it's no small task. If you're a Christian here today, you should know that Christ has purchased you with his own blood. He shed his blood for you. It's not, he didn't write a check with any currency that we're familiar with. He wrote a check with his own blood that's imperishable, not like gold and silver. And so be encouraged this morning, believer. Christ shed his blood for you. You are precious, and he cares for you, and he gives you over to the care to be stewarded by faithful elders. Elders must lead as God's stewards. God entrusts his sheep to elders, which is a position of considerable trust. And the requirement for elders is simply to be faithful to the master. There's a chief shepherd that I will give an account to, which leads to the last way that elders lead, which is elders lead as those who will give an account. And so number 3 and 4 are connected. As stewards, so I'm a steward of the sheep that have been entrusted to me. And as a steward, the day is coming when my master will require that an account be given. So this is the Hebrews 13:17. So obey your leaders and submit to them for their keeping watch over your souls is where I stopped. But listen how he continues. Obey your leaders and submit to them for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. One author asks, what could be a more important and at the same time more frightening job description? As an elder, I will give an account for how I stewarded the sheep that were entrusted to me. I mean, what a frightful thought. I, as an elder, will one day stand before Almighty God and give an account for how I cared for and led the members of Fox Hill Road Baptist Church. I mean, as an elder, I must lead with this reality constantly before my eyes. This is not just a side job or a hobby. It's not just a part-time responsibility. It's not a task to be taken lightly. This is a task and responsibility that will be judged on the last day. I will give an account. This is a frightful job description. This is why you must be called to this. You can't fake this. If you fake it, you're going to be done really fast. For an elder to take this responsibility seriously, he must be called to it. This is why Hebrews, the verse, urges the leaders to keep watch over their souls with joy and not with groaning. And so it is only by the grace of God that an elder who's going to give an account on the final day, who's going to be judged for how he stewarded the sheep that were entrusted to him, it's only by God's grace that he can carry out his task with joy. It is only God's grace that I can do this not bitterly or sarcastically or begrudgingly or angry. I can and I must do it joyfully. And this can only happen when the elder views his position of leadership and authority as a position and an authority that's been given to me. And it's been given to me for your good. And so I can say, if I wasn't the pastor here of this church for this time in this place, you wouldn't have a shepherd. And so I can go through a lot because I know I am given by God to care for you. And so I can do it with joy because there's nothing else I'd rather do because God has called me to this. And so all authority, especially that of elders, is given for the good of those underneath them. And so if I'm eldering, if I'm leading bitterly or angrily or just for any other motive, you're not going to benefit from my care. But when God gives me joy and calls me to this, he satisfies me as I do the hard work of eldering. And my conviction is that God would have other men to join me in this work. And do you know what would happen? You would be benefited by it. Because there would be more God-qualified and ordained men to shepherd you and to lead you. And so when elders endeavor to shepherd and lead for the good of those under their care, when they see progress and growth, there is great joy because this is what God calls us to. And we will give an account. And so elders must think and pray and labor to shepherd and care for the flock, to watch over the flock with vigilance. Looking forward and anticipating that last day, so Peter ends those verses. He's saying, when the chief shepherd appears, he will give the faithful shepherds the unfading crown of glory. So I'm going to lead for that day. So if you don't like me, I hope you like me. I hope you know I care for you. But if at the end of the day, if you fire me, right, I'm leading and I'm trying to exercise oversight because one day I want the Lord to say, job well done. You've been faithful. And there are faithful pastors who've been run out of churches. That's not me here, at least at this point. But I'm to be faithful to him above all else. And so I hope you know that is my heart. Because that day is what gets me through these days, especially these recent days. I'm not doing this for the approval of anyone, but for that unfading crown of glory when the Lord says, job well done, you cared for my sheep well. So that's my aim. And so as we close, let me just say these are the last two things. And we're not going to sing at the end, so I'll finish and then I'll pray. But just as we close, in preparing a sermon like this, as at least these past three, really, in focusing on this office of elder, there's kind of two things that have filled me. First, there's been joy and thankfulness. First things for what I get to do and for those I get to shepherd and lead. So I'm thankful to be a pastor, but I'm thankful to be a pastor of this church. And so I'm filled with thankfulness. And so church family, you make it easy to shepherd you with joy. And so I love you. I love this church. And I can honestly say I wouldn't trade you for any other congregation in the world. So I'm thankful for you. So that's what I've been filled with, just thankfulness. But also there's a fear and trembling for the ways that I fail to shepherd and lead well. And so as I'm thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, I need to grow in this. I need to do this better. And so again, you have been very patient with me. You've suffered through many of my growing pains, which I hate to say it, but you signed up for it when you hired someone who'd never been a senior pastor before. But you've been patient with me, and I'm well aware of my shortcomings and my limitations. And so I just want you to know I'm aware of that, but my aim is to continue to grow and to continue to improve in shepherding and leading you in this church. And so bear with me and let us continue pressing on together because that's what we're called to. Okay, so I'm a sheep just like you. I have ways to grow. I mean, by God's grace, we all will continue to press on until either we're with him or he comes again. So let me pray for us. This will be, we'll be dismissed. But let's pray as we close.